WIEL 1400.
You're listening to WIEL Information Radio, and we are talking with Carl Hybaugh, the former owner and proprietor of Hybaugh's Gun Shop, which until recently still stood near Lincoln Trail Elementary out on 62. We're going to take a few moments to look back at the shop. Now, you first opened for business in the late 60s, correct?
Yes, around November 1967, I believe.
Did you start off full-time, or was it...
No, it was just a hobby. I was still working at Fort Knox at the time. And this was something to, I guess, fulfill a wish I'd had for a long time, to run a gun shop of my own. So, Charlie Butler... had a notion that he wanted to run a music store and I wanted to run the gun shop, so we decided we'd operate sort of together. He had the building, and so he allowed me to join him with the gun shop, and he had the music shop. So it was a real nice arrangement.
Now, he was in the large portion at first, wasn't he?
Well, no, he was in the small part with me to begin with, and then we outgrew that small portion. He let me have it, and he went to the larger part.
Now, did he do some other line of business before he got into music?
He first had a garage there in the big building, a garage. And then later on, he went into body work, auto body work. And Charlie was the type of fellow, as long as anything was a challenge, it was interesting. But once he mastered it, he was ready to start something else. So he got into the furniture repair. In fact, I think he had a contract with the government. And then he decided he wanted to start repairing instruments. So he started doing that. And he was good at anything he did. Charlie was a brilliant man. But a character, but a brilliant man.
At what point did you actually go into this on a full-time basis?
After I retired from Fort Knox, I went into full-time then.
This was in the early 70s?
Yes, about 72, I believe it was.
You had quite the variety of customers to come through your door over the years, didn't you?
Oh, I'd say.
What are some of your favorite recollections that you care to share?
Well, I don't know. I've always said, you know, that you could have 100 good customers, but there'd be one bad one come in, and he'd ruin your whole day. And that's one that stuck in your craw when you went home at night. I won't mention any of those, but I got to the point where I could tell when I saw one getting out of his car, and they were going to give me a hard time. And seldom did I ever fail. but I won't go into too much into that, because I had many wonderful customers that I enjoyed. And still, I sometimes go to a gun show even now, and I'll run into some of my old customers, and they always act like they're just tickled to death to see me, and I them. And so it brings back a lot of memories.
For those of you who do not know, you used to get all of your, or most of your supplies from George's Gun Shop in Louisville,
mm-hmm.
didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he still alive?
Yes, he is. He a couple of years ago had a heart attack, and... But I talk to him every now and then, and he's doing okay. In fact, we're supposed to go down in Hart County to an eating place that serves real good country ham. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for him to make full recovery before we go down there. Probably we'll do it this year, hopefully, around July, when the tomatoes, or homegrown tomatoes, are coming in.
Didn't you say at one time his last name was Hoferkamp?
Hoferkamp, yeah. Mm-hmm. I won't go any further than that, I guess, because I was going to mention that our names had the same origins, I guess you say, the same country.
Right, Germany.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. How did some of the department stores, sporting goods departments, affect your business?
Well, they
kind of the downfall?
Yeah, they hurt a lot because people would come in and cite their prices, you see. Of course, those people used guns and sporting goods, for that matter, sort of as loss leaders. The way I figure it, they would take a loss on it to get them husband in there, but hopefully he'd bring his wife and the children. That's where they made their money. I won't go any further on that either, but I could add some more further opinions on that.
What were some of the other products you dealt with? You dealt with pocket knives and...
Pocket knives, and actually, I had reloading supplies, of course. That's related.
And you sold the fishing licenses and the...
Hunting
licenses.
That was actually for a convenience for the customers.
You didn't make much...
I think at that time I was making a quarter on each one I sold. So it's kind of frustrating when you had a guy here wanting to buy a new $500 shotgun and somebody else wanting a hunting license.
So I guess you consider that your civic duty to the state?
Civic duty, I guess.
Doing their work for them?
Mm-hmm. Could I tell a little story here?
Sure.
We're talking about the hunting licenses. Well, one Saturday night, there was one of my regular customers came in there, but he brought his brother with him. And I was really tired and worn out. And the brother later told me, this was Saturday night, as I said, and on the next Monday, the brother, my regular customer, came in laughing about the incident. But his brother was evidently a person like to pick on people. So he told him, warned him, says, now, Carl is probably tired and worn out, says, don't give him a hard time. Well, he came in, and right off the bat, he started rummaging through my used guns and rattling them. And I didn't like that much. And so directly he says, little high on your guns, aren't you? I said, why do you say that? He said, well, says, I can buy these up at S.C. Davis. It's a lot cheaper, he said. I said, is that right? And this went on a little while, so he started out the door. He says, but I'll tell you what. He says, I will buy a hunting license from you. And I said, is that right? Well, I says, I guess you'd better buy that at S.C. Davis's too. And he said, well, I will. And I let it go with that, too. And his brother was laughing about that the next Monday. He said, I warned him. Usually I didn't act that way. I had a good sense of humor, I thought. But this was a bad time.
Talk about some of the other businesses in the neighborhood.
Well, of course, Charlie had the instrument repair business. And I'd like to tell us, I said he was a genius in his way. Someone brought a nice Martin guitar in there. Some of his friends from down in Alabama or Georgia. And the back of it looked like they had something about the size of a poker, I guess, you know, maybe a 3/4 inch or so diameter hole punched, just a little round hole punched in the back of that nice guitar. And Charlie undertook to repair that guitar. I know I went over there one day, and he had a bunch of samples of wood of various kinds. And he was searching through this stack of wood samples, trying to find a piece of wood that would match the wood on the back of that guitar. Of course, now that's like looking for a needle in a haystack, maybe even more so. But it's almost an impossible thing. But I was watching him, and of course, he did like for me to watch him, I guess, so he just handed the wood for me to go through. But I knew right then I'd better leave him alone. But anyhow, he found a piece of wood that was approximately like the piece of wood in that guitar. And he inlaid that, and when he finished it, you had to know what you were looking for to find it. And I thought that was really an example of fine workmanship.
Quality work.
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about Leonard's grocery.
Well, yes, Leonard was, he was a fine fellow. I had some good neighbors over there, and Glenn and his family were really nice. A lot of mornings I stop over in Glenn's to get me a bite before I went on up to the shop, and he lives right across the road from me, and I'd go over there for donuts and a Coke, some combination of, but we'd always share some laughs, and I had a little story I could tell, but I better not tell this one. But it was, well, there was a little boy in there. I'll go ahead and tell this, won't mention any names. There's a little boy in there, and Glenn was such a good-natured fella. This little fella swiped a Coke out of the old Coke machine in there. All he had to do just raise the door, reach in, and get one. Well, he got this Coke, bottle of Coke, and he went and hid around behind some shelves with it. But Glenn spotted him, and he got after it, little fella. Well, he was just a little boy. But Glenn would say, "Now, you put that back, you know." But Glenn would have to laugh. He'd say, "You know, he'd have that sort of a laugh." And it was, to me, it was hilarious and showed what a fine guy that Glenn Leonard was. He also had a used machinery business there. And he was such a trusting fella. And I know that one day there's a fella came in there and bought, I think, a tractor from him, and gave him a check for $2,100, and Glenn accepted that check, and it wasn't any good whatsoever. And to my knowledge, to this day, Glenn never did get his money out of that. This fellow was from another county, and the law in that county evidently protected him, so he could never do anything about it. And he never got his money. And I felt so sorry for Glenn because he was generous, and he and his wife both. And I know that there would be days when a lot of the working people came in there for their lunches, and they'd get bologna sandwiches and berry sandwiches. But ever so often, Dorothy would fix beans, big pot of beans. And those very same people that would buy the sandwiches every day, and anyone else for that matter, I know they gave me the same thing. She'd give them a bowl of beans. This was free. And wow. I thought that was just wonderful and very just generous of them to do such a thing.
And Cynthia Van Meter.
Yes, she was a fine lady. Oh, yeah, she was all right. She was good at making the sandwiches.
Big, thick sandwiches.
Yeah, well, yes.
That Coke machine is now at Ray's.
Last I heard of it, it was, yeah.
It still is the last time I went in there, which was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I've drunk many a Coke out of that old machine. 6.5-ounce bottles, real. That was the real Coke. Real glass bottles, you know. They were fine.
Of course, Highball's Gun Shop is now out of business. Butler's is obviously, and Leonard's. Lewis Auto Service, they were in business back then, but they still are there.
They did some work for me. Yeah, they were really nice people also. Yeah, very, very decent people. And if you had a car worked on there, I think you could automatically assume it was going to be done right.
I think you shared with me at one time that the department stores could, since they could buy in bulk, they could sell
cheaper than I could buy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Now, the one advantage that I had over the department stores is that if you bought a gun from me and you had a problem with it, I could either fix it or I would send it back free of charge to the factory and get it repaired for you. And a lot of times, from the way I understand it now, the department store, you'd take it back and they would they'd give you maybe another gun, but they'd put that gun back on the rack. Now this is just hearsay.